After a long break, welcome back to Daf Yomi. We are on Daf Samaches in Meseches Bava Metzia. We are in the middle of Ezehu Neshech, going through the Perek all about Ribbis, and we are going to start on Samach Zayin Amid Beis by the two dots, about 10 to 15 lines up, where it says Pshita, which is the last word on the line. So there's a lot going on here, and we are going to jump right into the discussion. Says the Gemara, Pshita, ba'asr de misalke va'amar lo mistalakna, haka amar de lo mistalakna. So if we're talking about a place where we have a lender and a borrower, right? So the borrower is going to give up a mashko, and he's going to give up a field. So in a place where the borrower is able to pay back that loan earlier and kick the lender off of his field, if we're dealing with a place where that's the minhag hamakom at that place, but if me and Saul, who are in this deal, make a deal that I'm not leaving, even if you pay me back early, even though that's what people generally do in this place, but I'm not going to do that, that's binding in this situation, right? So, we made this agreement that Saul's not going to have to leave. But let's say we're talking about a case where the minhag is that they will not have to leave, meaning, again, I borrow from Saul, right? And then I have to go and give him my land. So even in a minhag, even in a place where the minhag is that you do not leave, va'amar mistalakna, my. So now if Saul says that he will leave if I do pay him back early, let's say we had a year-long term and I pay him back after a month and I say, okay, get out of my field. But really, the minhag amakum is that Saul would not have to leave my field. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha in that situation? So tzorach lemekan lemikna minei olo. So do you need to have a kinyan in that situation to go and certify that this is the new agreement? Meaning, again, the minhag in the makom is that people do not have to get off the field even if I pay back early. Saul should not have to leave my field, but he agrees to. Do I have to make a separate kinyan for this or no? Rav Papa amar lo tzorach lemakna minei. Rav Sheshes bar Ravidi amar tzorach lemakna minei. So there's a machlokas Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes. Rav Papa says
on the stipulation.
Correct. Just to go and change our agreement that now he would have to leave. Is there an added kinyan? Is there an added kinyan that there'd be a full kmiras das, right? So basically doing an added kinyan to make sure that this is now an official stipulation, or do we just say, as Rashi says over here, he says, tarach lemekani minei, di lo kani minei, if we don't have, this is Rashi on the bottom, he says that if you don't make this kinyan, dibura ba'almahu, it's just words, right? Is a verbal agreement enough, or do you need to solidify it with some sort of kinyan? Yeah, some sort of chalipin, some sort of kinyan, just like anything else. Do we need to do something to certify that which we did? Meaning, because otherwise it's just dibur biyama. Now, when it comes time, and so I'm like, all right, so you said you're going to leave, he's going to say, you know what, minagamakum is not due, so I'm going to hold back. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that you do need to make some sort of kinyan. Good. Now again, let's just keep going back to me and Saul with this, Saul lending me money. So Amar Ezel v'Aisi Zuzei. So let's say I go to Saul and I say, okay, Saul, I owe you $1,000 and I gave you my field as a mashkon for that $1,000. So you know what? I'm going to go and get the money. So now, what's the status of the payros in terms of Saul? Is Saul allowed to eat from those payros during that time? I say that I'm going to get the money. So in that situation, lo achil. Saul should not be eating from that field because I have the money. I'm just not able to give it to him just yet. For whatever reason, I'm going to get it. But let's say, Ezel v'atrach v'aisiz. Let's say I go to Saul and I say, okay, you know, I want my field back. I'm going to go work to get that money. That's very different than saying, I'm just going to go downstairs and get the money. Right? It means that I have to go out and do the hishtadlus to go and get the money. That could take some time. So what's Saul's status in terms of the payros in that situation? Ravina amar achil, umar zutra, berei derav mari amar lo achil. So Ravina says you're allowed to eat. Saul's allowed to eat from the payros at that time. Mar zutra berei derav mari says you're not allowed to. Vilchsa lo achil. And the halacha is, again, lo achil. If I'm going and working hard, going knocking from door to door to go and get whatever money I need to go pay back Saul, he is not allowed to go and eat from the payros at that time. Good. Says Gemara, fascinating story.
In other words, the money is not in his possession.
Well, right. It's not in my possession.
I promise you I'm going to get it because I'm going out to look.
Correct.
For it. By the fact that I'm going out to look for it is enough.
Correct.
To stop the
whole. That's what we're saying. If I have it downstairs, for sure, right?
So what happens at the end of the day, I don't bring the money.
So that's what we're saying, that he's able to go and eat the fruit or not able to go and eat the fruit. That's what the machlokas is. Right? At what point?
Yeah, but according to Rome, it says that he can't eat the fruit. Now the borrower comes and he says, I couldn't raise the money. So when does he get to, when does that period end? I went to work, I looked all day, I can't get the money. Now I come
So I think that's a discussion in the Rishonim, right? How long does it go? That's the discussion. That's what you have to figure out, unless you have to see what's a realistic timeline. You also have to see what's a realistic timeline. Rashi says something about 3 years later on in the Gemara, but we have to see a realistic type of timeline for that. No, you're right, 100%. Here we go. Says the Gemara, Rav Kana v'Rav Papa v'Rav Ashi lo achli b'nechiyaisa. So remember, on the top of the daf, as we pointed out, there's this concept of nechiyaisa, which means that, let's say Saul is going to eat from the peros, so Saul would be eating from the peros of my field in order to go and deduct a certain amount of the loan that I owe him each and every year. So we said that you're allowed to do this technically, but it's sorba me rabbanan, sorba mi drabbanan. Those pious individuals don't do this. This is not a good thing to do. We're four lines up from the bottom on daf samach zayin amid beit. Right? So Rav Kana, Rav Papa, and Rav Ashi, they would not eat from this. Ravina achol b'nechiyaisa, but Ravina would go and eat from this type of arrangement. Amar Marzutra, my time a demanda achol b'nechiyaisa. So Marzutra says, what's the reason for the guy who eats this? Meaning Ravina, why is he eating from this? Midi dahava astei achuza, because he's going like stei achuza. Stei achuza is something we're going to read in just a few weeks time in the Parshios. What's stei achuza? So let's say someone has their inherited land, their ancestral land, and they go and they inherited this land, and now they're makdish this land, they're makdish this field. So they can be poded and have to pay chomech, whatever it is. Someone else can be poded, but the only way it works is if you're going to be makdish that land, and now someone's going to be poded, you only get it for the terms of Yovel. Once Yovel comes, it automatically goes back to the Kohanim. So when you're going to redeem it, they go based on a price as to how many years left until Yovel. So it says, Gemara, Stei Achuza, La Vafagavdika Achel Perei Tuva. So when it comes to Stei Achuza, even though there's a lot of Peros on the field, Amarachmana, Ka Parik La, Ba'arba Azuze, so you're able to go and be Poda it, as Rashi points out, Arba Azuze is a Sela, so you can be Poda for just a Sela. Hachanami, Loshna. So the same thing should apply over here. Even though it's not the value of the field, it still would knock off part of the loan, and that's going to be okay. That's why Ravina said he's going to eat from the Nechiyaisa. Here's the only issue. Look at Tosas over here. Tosas by Ravina, Achal b'Nechiyaisa. Remember, we said on the top of Samach Zayin Amid Beis, we said that technically you're allowed to eat from this Nechiyaisa, from this deduction type of arrangement, but at Sorba Midrabanan, the top people, the big Talmidei Chachamim, so they wouldn't do so because it's just, you got to go and set the path for everybody else. So is Ravina not a big-time Talmud Chacham? I mean, he put together the Gemara with Rashi, right? So what's going on over here? Look at Tosus. He says, Tema, de'le'el amirin, de'tzor b'min d'rabban, afil min chayis alonecho. We just said that that's not going to be the case. And what you're going to tell me that Ravina's not? So look at Va'umer Rabbeinu Tam, a fascinating answer. Va'umer Rabbeinu Tam, de'Ravina lo haya rotze lito Hashem, v'lasos atmo tzor b'min d'rabbanan. So Ravina didn't really consider himself to be a tzor b'min d'rabbanan. So he didn't consider himself. Now, this is a very tough dynamic. So it's humble, but at the same time, you have a responsibility. You have to know. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's classic for, someone on the street would say, Moshe, Moshe, and he would turn around thinking that they're talking to him. Rav Moshe was, Anov Miko Adam also, but he also writes in his intro to Igros Moshe, like, I got to write some psak because people keep asking me for psak. So like, you got to know, you got to, right? So how does this work? So some wanted to suggest that maybe there were certain benefits. We actually saw on last daf also, there were certain benefits to being a Tzor B'mir Rabbanan. One of them is that, let's say there's a sale with a market. So you get first rights to sell everything. No one else can sell anything until the Talmidei Chacham himself. So that way they can get back to learning. Also, there were certain tax benefits, like nowadays. There were certain tax benefits to being a Tzor B'mir Rabbanan. So maybe Ravina wouldn't take from any of those benefits, and therefore he can now no longer consider himself one of these Tzor B'mir Rabbanan, which is interesting. But again, the concept is still, you have to be aware enough to know if people are going to look at you, right? So everyone who comes to a Daf Yomi Shir early in the morning, people look, whoa, this guy goes to a Daf Yomi Shir and he does this, so that means I can for sure do this. Right, so you got to be careful what everyone's doing. You got to be careful with the example that we are saying. Tosa has other answers over there, and he says maybe Nechiyaisa really means different type of ribbis over there, whatever it is. But I thought that's a fascinating idea by Ravina. Fine. Next, says the Gemara, Man de Asar Amar Lach Stei Achuza Hektish Yivrachmana Ukme Apidyon. So the one who says that it's Asar, oh, what about the comparison to Stei Achuza where it seems to be okay? He'll say no, Stei Achuza is different. That's a hektish situation where the Torah says that there's a certain type of pidyon. But Hacha Halva you Mechzei Karibis. But here it's a Halva, and it looks like ribbis. Meaning if you're only going and doing this deduction type of arrangement where Saul's going to go and eat from my fruit each and every year and deduct off that, it looks like there's some sort of ribbis happening in that situation. So that's why it's going to be different. Good. Says Gemara Rav Ashi, Amruli Sabi de Masa Machasya. So the elders of this place of Masa Machasya would say, Stam Mashkanta Shasa, that a standard mashkon is going to last for a year. that the standard mashgon is going to be for a year, which means that if I, again, borrow money from Saul and I give him my land as a mashgon for that, so even if I want to pay him back right away and get my land back, standard mashgon is for a year. L'may nafkamina, who cares if it's for a year? Because once it's been a year, then I can get rid of him. But otherwise, I cannot get him away. Look at Rashi over here. He says, "Lo mati misalek le kol shana," so the entire year. Remember, we said there are different places that have different types of minhagim in terms of whether I can pay back Saul early and then have him get off my field. So it sounds like even in a place where the minhag is to allow it to go early, after a year, that's the only time it's a discussion. But before a year, Saul would not have to leave. Good. Says Gemara of Amar Ravashi, Amru Isabi de Masa Mechasya. So these elders of Masa Mechasya said to him again, "My Mashkanta." So we have this word Mashkon all over Shas and all over Halacha. So where does this word come from, Mashkon? So the Shchuna Gabei. What it means is that when I give Saul my field as a Mashkon, he's like a Shchuna, he's like a neighbor. Like State Farm. No, he's like a neighbor. I should get paid for that. He's like a neighbor onto that field. Am I not, you know, who cares? Says Gemara, Ladina de Bar Mitzra. What's Dina de Bar Mitzra? This is the halacha that? Excellent, right? You have to offer your property to your neighbor first before anybody else. Where does this halacha come from? It sounds like this is a what? Well, true, but which pasuk does this come from? It sounds like this is a din in lifnim mishur sadin, right? Like it's not. This is a nice thing to do. It's a nice way to vasisa yashar v'atov, right? That's what I meant, right? That's always the connecting, like connecting by lifnim mishur sadin. Remember, we had this earlier by Shuma Hadar. Remember, someone was asking, what does it mean that we're learning Shuma Hadar from vasisa yashar v'atov? Does that mean that you have to do it? Does that mean I have to do it? Good. We try to be good people, right? This is also again the Ramban Kiddushim Tiyu, the Ramba, everyone, and by Kiddushim Tiyu, our parsha. That there's certain general psukim we have, like Vasisei Yashar Vatov, because the Torah can't possibly list every single situation. So there's the column that we have in the Torah, and then there's the general things of don't be a jerk, be a good person. So that's what we try to do. Good, next. Amar Rava. Rava says, Les hilchsa lo kitarshe pupnoi, velo kishtari michuznoi, velo kichachire narshoi. It sounds like I'm like reading a ksuba over here, right? So Rava says the halacha is not like any of the three following cases. What are these cases? So Kitarshe Papunai, what's this referring to? So this is Kitarshe de Rav Papa. This is talking about Rav Papa, if you remember, on Daf Samachay, Amad Aleph. So we told the story about Rav Papa. What was Rav Papa? Rav Papa was a beer brewer, right? Rav Papa was a beer brewer, and he was a very wealthy man. So he said that which I do is certainly not going to be a problem. So what would he do? So Rav Papa had a beer brewery again, so he would be a beer salesman. So now when it comes to beer, there were certain times of the year where beer was expensive and certain times when it was cheaper. So if you're able to, the ideal way to do the business is wait until Nisan when it's more expensive and sell all your beer then. In Tishrei, when there was a lot more supply, so it was a lot cheaper. So what Rav Papa would do is as follows. He never needed to sell during Tishrei because he had enough money to last him till Nisan, and then he could just sell in Nisan and make great profit on all of his beer. But if someone came to him really wanting to go and buy in Tishrei, so he said, listen, I'll sell it to you, but only at the prices of Nisan. So I'll do it at the Nisan price. He says, what could possibly be wrong here? Because I don't need this. I'm doing this just as like a good, as a convenience for them. If they want to buy, then okay, that's their own fault. That can't possibly be any issue. And the Rabbanan said back,
and every one of his slime was knocked
out. Right, exactly. And then the other people came to him and said, the Chachamim said, well, you're only looking at it from your point of view, right? You have to look at it from the other people's point of view, that they are basically saying that I'm going to give you the money now to then have access to it, so there's potential ribbis issues there. So we say the halacha is not like this arrangement of Rav Papa, that Rav Papa seems to be in the wrong over here. Says the Gemara. Shtari mechuznoi. What's this referring to? Dezakfele l'ravcha akarna l'kasfele b'shtara. So this is talking about something which we're going to see a little bit later on in the Yamud. So this is talking about, let's say I give you something to go and invest and to go and make profits in, right? So now when I'm writing a shtar to get paid back, let's say I gave Binyamin $100, right? And now the goal is that he's going to go and make $30, 30% profit from that $100. So in the shtar I put down, Binyamin's going to owe me, after a little bit of time, he's going to owe me $115 because the deal is that we're going to split the shtar. So I'm assuming that you're going to make that money. So I put that in the star. So says Gemara, we can't have that because mi yemer da havarafka, because who knows if there's for sure going to be profit. Amar le mar bar amemar l'rvashi abba avid hachi. So mar bar amemar, so mar says, My father, he says to Ravashi, my father used to do this. My father used to make this type of arrangement. So you're telling me this is wrong. This is what Amimar used to do. And people would say, if Binyamin were to come back to me and say, hey, listen, on this $100 that we had, there was no profit. So Amimar would just believe him and there wouldn't be any claim. So it wouldn't be a problem. So Amar Tinachecha to Isei Lididei. So Ravashi said back, that works when you have a tzaddik like Amimar. But Ishachav and Afal Shara Kamei Yasmei Mayhavi. But what would happen in a general, I can't imagine he was saying like, what happens if, you know, it goes over to his children because he's talking to his kid right now, right? So he said, but what happens if it goes, well, let's just say he is. Let's say, what if it goes to the Yisomim? If Amimar were to pass away, then what? They're going to want to claim the 115. They're not going to believe him that there were no prophets. But now we should know, as a side point, this is a pasuk in Koheles. We don't al tiftach pe l'satan. They're giving examples. That's why anytime we have an example of something really bad, we don't use Binyamin, we don't use me, we don't use Saul. We don't want to al tiftach pe l'satan. So over here, they were talking about what happens if Amimar dies, and kachava Amimar died. So that's what happened over there. So this was the second of the three cases. This is Shtari Mechuznai. Chachirei Nershoi, what's this referring to? Diksivi hachi mashkon lepalnya ara lepalnya. So this is where I'm talking about, again, a situation where if Saul lends me money and I give him my field as a mashkon, v'hadar chachrei minei. Now I'm going and renting my own field from Saul. Saul's a good businessman. Not only do I owe him the money originally, but now on the mashkon, I'm paying him a rent, which is basically covering the entire expense of the field. So emas kna da akne nehali. So this type of arrangement is no good because people are going to look and say, when did Saul acquire the field that he's able to re-rent it out to me? Even though as the mashkon, he is able to do what he wants, but when he's re-renting it out to me, so then everyone's going to say, wait a minute, he's the owner of the field, or Ashi's the owner of the field, which one is it? So that's where it goes back and forth. But nowadays, when we write certain language in the shtar of kanina mine v'shayina kama idne v'hadar chachra, where we say that there's going to be, that Saul's actually kone, and we're going to wait a certain amount of time, and therefore, it's going to go like that. So this is where we talk about this concept. I think this is where the 3 years comes in, right? Maybe not. Yeah. No. All right, whatever. Anyway, so, but nowadays where we have this idea where Saul is being, where Saul is acquiring this field actually, and he's able to do what he wants for a certain amount of time. Kadesh go tin al delas bifnei lavin shop your dummy. In order so that people are actually going to do a loan in a certain situation, right? Exactly. Just like the Prisbel situation. We have a few different types of cases where we try to encourage people to loan in certain cases. So in that situation now it's going to be different. Vlav milsahi. But that's going to be different because it sounds like all of this sounds like there might be real ribbis over here. If you look at Rashi, Vlav milsahi, dafil shi anami. Usher to ribis gemura. He. It sounds like even if you wait this amount of time, it's usher because of ribis gemura. This is real ribis. She'ein kan safek ka'osev elcha shabam shemotzi ve'ino notel. Because there are times where it's not going to actually go through. It's times where it's not actually going to take it. So this actually would be a ribis situation. Fine. So let's just review what we've done so far. So we started with this aser de mesalke, when a place where I can get Saul off my field earlier by paying him back earlier. Do we need an extra kinyan if Saul agrees to get off earlier, depending on certain minhag makoms? Then we spoke about nechyaisa, how you go with this deduction type of thing where Saul's going to take certain payros and deduct it from my thing, so from my loan. So that's not ideal, but some people would. Ravina would. He said it's like stay achuza. Others said that the stay achuza is not going to be okay. We said that the stam mashkon is a year, and I can't kick Saul off my field after a year. We said mashkon is from shchuna for dina de bar metzra, that it matters for that. And then we had this amarava, that the halacha is not like these three things, these three different cases where it seems to be some sort of ribbis issue. But now let's go into the next mishnah. This next mishnah is all about the concept of an iska. What is an iska? We know heter iska, but how does all of this work? So we need to understand the case. The case is when there's a partnership. I go to Binyamin, I say, Binyamin, here's $1,000. I want you to go and open a business, and we're going to be 50-50 partners in this business, right? So I go to Binyamin again, and I say, here's money, so I'm funding the business, and now we are going to be partners in the business, even though Binyamin is the one who's going to be doing all of the work. So now the question becomes, let's say everything goes downhill. So who's mekabel the achrayos? Who's chayev to go and pay in that situation? If it's me, then it's like a loan. If it's Binyamin and me, then maybe it's like a business arrangement. It's more like a pikadon. So it would depend who's going to be responsible if something were to go downhill. So what we're talking about are situations where it's half hava, half pikadon. Meaning, if I'm responsible for half of the achrayos and Binyamin's responsible for the half of the achrayos, then that's going to be a chatzi milva, chatzi pikadon, or what's known as an iska type of situation. And with the heter iska, that's kind of what we do. If you look and we try to fully understand what the heter iska is that we turn the loan into an investment, right? That's really how we do it over there. So let's go into our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ein Moshe even chanvani lemechtzis schar, v'lo yitin moz likach ben peros lemechtzis schar, ela imkein nosein lo scharo kipoel. So says the Mishnah, two cases, that I can't go and have Binyamin run a business, or I can't give him money to go and buy peros for half the schar, meaning again, I give him $1,000 and I tell him, go start a business and we'll split the We'll fully split the profits. I can't do that because that's like I'm giving him a loan for free, right? I'm giving him a loan for free. It's not costing me anything. I'm giving him a loan. I'm giving him $1,000. I'm hoping to come back with a few $100. So it's like giving him a loan for nothing. So the only way to get out of that is if I pay him some sort of salary. If I give him some sort of salary and I pay some sort of wage, then that changes it from no longer being a full loan, and therefore it's not going to be a full issue.
What's a concession then?
Oh, how much does it have to be? So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. That's the whole amud of the Gemara. We're going to see. The Gemara talks about, so how much does that have to be in order to get you off the hook from making okage? What type of wage? Says the Gemara, Ein Moshe even tarnei golden lemechtza. So you can't go and have this rooster and just take the profits of that rooster. I can't give Binyamin a rooster and go and just get all the profits. Vein shaman eglo siyachin lemechtza. And the same thing, we can't do the same split when it comes to these other types of animals, the calf and whatever it is. Elim ki nosin lo schar amalu umizono. I have to give Binyamin the schar, a wage for working my animals, to go and earn me all of the profits that I've been making. Aval mekablen agolun siyachin lemechtza umigadlen oso achiyu mishuloshin v'chamor achidei toenis. But you are able to go without evaluating it. Meaning, again, the key over there is ain shaman agolun siyachin lemechtza. We can't evaluate it and say, okay, I'm going to take half the profits from this. If you just give me these types of little animals, so then I am allowed to go and have this arrangement with Binyamin until it gets to a third of its growth when it comes to this calf or a donkey, until it's able to hold things. That's when it becomes more of like a real type of animal. That's when things are going to change. But says the Gemara, so again, the question that was just asked, how much needs to be paid in order to get you out of this potential ribbish issue? Says the Gemara, Tana kapoel batel. That has to be like a poel batel. So says the Gemara, my kapoel batel, what does this mean? So Amar, top of the So we're talking about how much would someone pay for an easier job. Let's say someone's working a very difficult, tough job where it's just, you know, a struggle every single day, and they're making $100. But now they have an opportunity to go do a much easier job. So how much money would you take to have a much easier job, a nicer quality of life, but still enough money for you to live? So how much money would that be? How much less would you take? So let's say someone would take 80. So that might be the schar batel that you would have to go and pay, right? So you'd have to pay that amount of how much someone would be willing to take in order to go with less. Utsricha. And why do we need both of these cases? Remember, when we spoke about the me and Binyamin arrangement, the iska arrangement, we had two cases. We had the case of a chenvani, where he's running a store, and we had the case where he's going and buying payers. Why do we need both of these cases? Ditana chenvani, chenvani hu disagi le kepoa batel. Because you might think that if we just taught about the storekeeper, that's an easy job. You're just sitting behind a desk. That's not going to be so difficult. So maybe in that situation, just paying like a poel batel is going to be okay. Mishim de lo nafish tarchei, because it's not so arduous, it's not so difficult. Aval maos likach ben peros de nafish tircha. But when you have to go and try to find a buyer, try to find a seller, try to go and understand the markets where it is more difficult, ema lo sagile ke poel batel. I might think you have to pay more. Vitana maos likach ben peros. And if we only had the peros case, hava mina hasam hu debai ke poel batel. Mishim de nafish tarchei. So I might think it's over there that you only need to pay the poel batel, because that's a lot of money to pay, because that's a lot of work. Aval chedmani de lo nafish tarchei. But when it comes to just chenvani, he was sitting there, you might think just a tiny salary is going to be enough. Commission-based system is going to be what's going to work for you. So you might think, dafilu lo tavel imo ela betir. Even if I just say, Binyamin, you can go and dip your bread into my fish dip. Or we just eat one fig together. So you might think that that's going to be enough of a schar. That's why we need to have both of these cases. Now, we are about to go into four brisas that solely deal with these iska types of deals. That's what we're going to deal with in these brisas. Says Gemara, Tan Rabbana Kamu Schar. So how much does the schar have to be? Bein meruba u bein muat, divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says, whether it's a lot, whether it's a little, that's going to be enough. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not only that, we can take it even a step further. Even just allowing Binyamin to dip his bread into my sauce, or just eating one fig with him, that's going to be enough. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, the Rashbi says, nosein lo scharo mishalim. You have to pay back the entire amount. That is brisa number one. From one end of the spectrum to the other, that is very far in terms of how much you would have to pay in terms of wages. Yeah.
You always have to mention the siman. You speak out the siman.
The simon, comma, izay, vitarnagol, and malin simon. So these are the four brises that we're going to see. That is the simon. So the first one was comma. Next, tanarabanani, chaman loesa izim, loesa rachel, and below. You can't go and give him anything, meaning without paying wages. I can't go and give Binyamin these goats or the ewes or whatever it is. I can't give any animal that's only going to be an expense but not going to make you any money. Because again, I need to actually make sure that Binyamin has some sort of salary. So these animals, which don't generate any sort of profit, you can't go and give those things. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Shaman Esaizim and Nesha Cholvos. No, we can go and evaluate the goats because they have milk. Vesar Achelim and Nesha Gozizos. The ewes because you can shear them. Meshotos Umarotos. So you can get all these types of profits from these things. Vesar Tarnagolos, Meshu Usev Elchelos. And when it comes to the Tarnagolos, so they go and can help you with food stuff. And therefore, that's enough to not have to pay any sort of salary because there's some sort of profit there. Vitanakama, Gizav Achelov, Lo Suffolk. So when it comes to the Tanakama, he says that these things of shearing and milking, they're not going to be enough in order to go and have you as the schar for all of Binyamin's work to go and get me food. So meaning, when it comes to Tanakama, he says, when it comes to the shearing and when it comes to the milking, everyone agrees that that is going to be enough. Meaning again, if I make an arrangement with Binyamin, so the whole deal was that I have to make sure to pay him some sort of salary, otherwise it looks like ribbis if we're just splitting the profits. So if I give him an animal that's going to generate me some profit, that's going to be enough in order to go and count as the salary. Everyone agrees when it comes to the milk and the shearing, that's going to be enough. But keep pligi, when do they argue? With the whey, with just like a little part of the milk, or the little pieces of the shearings that fall off, is that going to be enough? So So this is where the Tanakama says that you need to go and say, you need to pay back more. And Rabbi Yossi holds like his father, that says that, no, even just a tiny amount is going to be okay. So this was the second of the simanim. This is Izeh talking about whether the animals themselves are going to be enough to go and pay back. So it depends. Does it generate any profit or not? The question becomes about the tiny amount of profit. That's where you have the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Third case, Tanurabanan, Maskaris, Ishel, Chaverta, Tanagolos, Bishnei Afrochen. Let's say one woman goes to another one and says, listen, you have some eggs and I have the Tarnagolas, I have the hen. So the way it needs to go, you need to have the hen needs to sit on the eggs in order that they can go and generate into something, right? So I'll provide you the hen. The only thing I'm asking for is just two eggs in terms of payment. Give me two chicks. Give me two of these baby birds, and that's going to be a good payment. So in that situation, sounds like could work. Isha sha'amra l'chaverta tarnagolas shali ubeitzim shalichi. Let's say you say that, you know, I have the chicken, you have the eggs, we're going to go and split the profits 50-50. Vani va'at nachlok v'afrochen, and we're going to split in that situation. So when I make the agreement just for two eggs, that's going to be totally fine. But when we say we're going to be partners in this, and we're going to split it 50-50, Rabbi Yehuda Machi, Rabbi Shimon Oser. Rabbi Yehuda says that's going to be okay, and Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be a problem. Rabbi Yehuda lo ba yischara malu mizono. How can Rabbi Yehuda say it's okay? Didn't we say that otherwise it's going to look like a ribbis situation? The lady with the eggs is going to be doing all the work. I'm just going to give the chicken, but the lady with the eggs is going to do all the work. She's going to get non-developed eggs. Well, she's going to have all these things. She's going to work hard to go and get this. And therefore, this seems to be a ribbis issue. Says the Gemara, no, ika beitz and muzaros. There are going to be non-developed eggs that this person can go and get. That could be her wages. Asks Tosos, but aren't those not edible? So how is that wages? No, it's just for someone who's not picky, then it's going to be okay. So if someone's not picky, then it's going to be okay. So now that was the third of them. That was Tarnagola. Now the final one, Tanurabana. Makum shenagul lahalos. This is Malin. Tanurabana. Makum shenagul lahalos. Schar katef lamos lebehema Malin. So in a place where they normally give people schar for carrying the animals on their shoulders and the stuff for the animals on their shoulders, then you go and pay. Ve'in mishanim minag ha-medina. But you have to go and pay back minag ha-medina. Meaning minag ha-medina plays a big role in terms of dinei mamonos. We have to understand that. When it comes to certain things, minag ha-medina plays a big role. Now, minag ha-medina is different than dina d'machus adina. We can give shir on that another time. There's a lot of different phrases that are similar time, kind of, but they are different. But here we go by minag medina. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shaman Egel im imo v'siach im imo v'afilu v'malkum shenagu lahalos schar katef l'maus. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, when you're analyzing how much you have to pay for the schar of carrying, so if you have a calf with its mother, so that's going to all count as one. We don't count it separately. Oh, you're carrying the calf and the mother. It all goes hand in hand. It all goes as one, and that's going to be the same amount of money. Oh, interesting. Okay, there you go. Right, but here we're saying it's all going to go hand in hand. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lo ba'ischara malum mizono. I don't understand. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you don't have to pay back for the schar amalu mizono, for the hard work. She says, Gemara, no, ika glalim. There's going to be glalim. The dung is there, so therefore there's no ribbis, because that's going to be of some value. Says Gemara, vi'idach glalim afkuri mafkirlu. And here what he's saying is that the glalim, they're automatically going to be made. We're going to do a few more lines, just because it goes into the halacha of what we've done. But the other one says that the glalim become hefker. Now, this is a fascinating concept that over here, it doesn't sound like anyone made this hefker. It sounds like because they're just the dung, and yes, it's somewhat valuable, but most people wouldn't really want the dung. Because it's just the dung, therefore, it was automatically made into hefker. This is a big discussion about how hefker works. Can hefker work belave? The Machane Ephraim and others talk about over here that it sounds like hefker belave is working, even though I did not actually say anything or do anything like a kinyan in order to make something hefker. Here, I am now belave making something hefker. Whether that works or not is a big time machlokas stemming from this sugya over here. It says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachman halacha ki Rebbe Yehuda. The halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda with that what? That just allowing Binyamin to dip his thing into my fish sauce or whatever it is, that's going to be enough of a wage in order to go and not have ribbis. V'alacha k'Rabbi Yosi, lacha is like Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, that just the leftover shearings is going to be enough of a wage. V'alacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the halacha is like the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the mother can go with the child for no extra fee. So we've just closed out these topics over here. So let's just again review what we did. So we start with the first half of the daf, with all the things that we reviewed after the first half. And one other point which I wanted to mention is we don't like to give examples. Al tiftach pel satan, like Amemar, with his son going and talking about the arrangement that he made, that he would go and already write back in the shtar, but then he would be mochel, and we said, oh, the kids don't like it, the kids wouldn't necessarily go for that. So we spoke about different types of situations, then we got into iska types of cases. Again, iska, where I go and I say, Binyamin, I'm going to give you $1,000, you're going to go a business, we're going to split the profits. We said, that's going to look like a loan that has ribbis on it, because I gave you $1,000, now you're paying me back $1,500. Yeah, you were able to keep the rest of the profits, but it looks like ribbis. The only way to go and save this is to go and give Binyamin a salary, give him some sort of wage. And the question that we dealt with is, what type of wage is enough? And we had a big machlokas, we had four brises all about iska. This is Daf Samaches. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.